Okay, I have here in front of me a new sefer. I highly, highly recommend everyone here in the shir should.
What's the name and what's the
right here? Here it is. Here it is. This is the name of the sefer. I don't know if you can see. Okay, you can see the big light bulb on it. You see this light bulb? It's backwards because the way the screen is set up, it's backwards. I probably can turn it around.
It's not backwards. It's fine.
You can see it regular. You can read it.
Yes.
So how come I don't see? I see it backwards. All right, whatever. Regular. Okay, so the name of the sefer is called Shabbos in Our Times, Rabbi Shmuel Stein. I believe he lives in Florida. I have no idea who this person is. I believe he lives in a kollel in Florida. It was just published. Yes, he obviously is a Talmud of a lot of very chasha people, because they write very nice things about him, from Shmuel Kamenetsky, from Rav Reuven Feinstein, and Rav Shustel. Rav Shustel, and from Rav Harfenis. I'm not familiar who Rav David Harfenis is. I'm not familiar who this is.
Harfenis is from Williamsburg.
It's a Hasidisha.
He has a whole
safe
about the
dateline
and all
Zmanim. Is it Rav? Rav de Beis HaMedrash Yeshov Zmanim. The name of the shul. The name of the shul is called Yisrael VeHazmanim. Rav de Beis HaMedrash. But it's the name of his base medrash. His name of his, he has a base medrash that says.
That's the safest name.
Also called the base safer.
Right.
So he has over here all different haskamas. He has over here from Shul Kamenetsky from Philadelphia, from Reuven Feinstein from Staten Island, from David Shustel from Lakewood, and from Williamsburg. And they write these beautiful things, and it's a very impressive safer. And basically, it's all about Shabbos. And he takes all of the controversies, which we're going to spend some time on, maybe as we go through at some time, and just for today as a sample, I want to discuss with you his take on making coffee on Shabbos. What is the correct way? We will learn these halachas every so often. Everyone knows, everyone does what they want to do. And there are a lot of new things here I never saw before, never heard before. And just even the things that you do know, just as a refresher, as he explains it, with such clarity. It's so well written. Everything is so cheshbin, it's thought out. So let's discuss the issues. The issue is an issa d'oraisa in the Torah to the bishul. Bishul cooking on Shabbos, one of the lamites malachas. Where do we learn bishul from? Where, by the way, is the makar of bishul in the Mishkan. So, well, he writes over here the lechem aponim. That's not so posh. Why it's lechem aponim? Because lechem aponim is really baking afia. But the machlokes is what the real makar is. I think more of us are common with the bishul of the samimonim of the dyes. The dyes when they are cooking. Let's first define the word cooking. Cooking is defined through the use of water, of food. Is put in water, and the water heats the food to a temperature that is. That's the big question. What temperature exactly? What midoraisa, minatora? At what temperature is something called cooked? If it's hot, that's not called cooking. It has to at least be what's called yad seledespo, where your hand, if you put your finger into the liquid, you would pull your hand out. Because it's too hot for you to touch. But is Yad Seledes Boy Min HaTorah called Bishul? That's not so simple. Some say yes, some say not. Some say it depends upon the item that you're cooking. There are many different opinions on this. You discuss all this, which I don't remember the names of the Rishonim. When the water gets hot enough, where you pull your finger out, where you can no longer allow it to remain in that water, that already is a level of heat where you're entering into a danger zone. Because there are certain items in this world that if you were to put uncooked food items in water of that temperature, it would be transformed. Now we'll explain in a few moments what exactly is the meaning of that word, the concept of being transformed. And then, of course, there is the higher level of cooking, which is 100 Celsius, 212 degrees Fahrenheit, where the water bubbles. Okay, that is the scientifically accepted definition of boiling, of when the water boils, when the water now begins to evaporate and at an accelerated rate due to the appearance of bubbles. There are some scientific, I'm not familiar, I don't know the science, But that in the Chachmei Humas Olam, when the water bubbles, that is a significant degree of heat. And that again we mentioned is 100 degrees Celsius, 212 degrees Fahrenheit, l'chol hadeos, a food that has not been cooked, that is put in such water, and the water is the object, is the tool which is used to transform, that food into something different. That for sure min ha-Torah is called Bishul. Where was that in the Mishkan? In the Mishkan, that took place by the dyes. They wanted to color different wool, techeles. I'm not sure techeles, maybe argamon, telashani. There were different items in the Mishkan that need to be colored, and they had ingredients. And the way to extract the ingredient was, or the way to put, to impart that color into the wool or the material that they were using was through putting this material in hot water and adding the ingredient, and that would change its color permanently. Others say, that Rav Haigoin, that the Melacha Bishul, that's Rav Haigoin, what I just told you was from Rav Haigoin. However, others say that Bishul is really synonymous with baking, afia, the lechem aponim. Okay, the baking the breads involved the Melacha Bishul. Why did it involve Melacha Bishul? I'm not sure. Why did the baking of the breads involve Bishul? I'm not really sure what he means by that. All right, but let's for the moment follow Rav Haigoin. That's the most popular approach, the samimonim, the dyes. Now, there's machlokes. Here's the point of Bishul. This is a very important insight. What do you do with Bishul? Let's say you have a piece of chicken. You have a piece of chicken and you cook the chicken. We're not talking about baked chicken, cooked chicken. Put the chicken, make chicken soup. Put the chicken in a boiling pot of water. And the water boils. And when the water boils, the chicken now is transformed. The chicken, until you cook it, is not edible. The average person will not eat a piece of raw chicken. The average person, it's just not edible. When you cook it, you transform the food into a food that is now for the very first time edible. That's an accomplishment.
Chicken soup. It becomes chicken soup.
Not the soup. Let's talk about the chicken itself. Forget about the soup. The soup is just an extract. That you just take. Let's talk about eating the chicken.
That's a machal in itself, the chicken soup.
Okay, right? But that's not the Ikar Bishul. The Ikar Bishul is you have a piece of chicken that's not edible. The average person will not, there are people that will eat raw chicken, but the average person will not eat raw chicken. What do you need to do to the chicken in order to make it edible? You need to cook it. How do you cook it? You put it in water. The water boils. The boiling of the water has an effect on the piece of chicken to make the chicken edible. So what does cooking have done? It has taken a food that until now is not edible and now is edible. That is the most basic form in halacha of cooking. Then there's another type of cooking where the food is edible. It is edible, but it's not enjoyable. I want it hot. I have, like you said, cold chicken soup, or I have cold water. I have water. I can drink the water the way it is. No harm done drinking a glass of water. But when I boil the water, oh, now it's hot. Now it has achieved the temperature which is satisfying to my palate. That's another type of cooking. That's a different type of cooking. Now, is that cooking? Now, both of those cookings are minatoyrah are forbidden. Okay, minatoyrah. Both of those cookings are clearly forbidden minatoyrah because you are changing something. And either you change something from a state that until now was not edible, now becomes edible, or you're not making a real change. Even if there is a change chemically, scientifically, it doesn't really matter because until now it was edible and now it's just more enjoyable for you. It's in a different state, but it was fine before and it's fine now. What is the nafkamina between these two types of cooking? The nafkamina between these two types of cookings is a din de rabbanon in what's called a kli sheni. So let's follow the basic rule. Basically, everyone agrees. It's something called a kli rishon. A kli rishon is the original utensil in which the water is boiled. You have a pot, and in the pot you put water, and you turn on the range, turn up the heat, and the water boils. The original location where the water is boiling is potent. That water has potential to cook something. That's called a kli rishon. The water itself, by cooking the water, you've made the water hot. Okay, that's really esh. I'm getting confused a little bit here, but when you boil water, that's called a kli rishon. Let's say now you take that water and you pour it into a second utensil. That is called a kli sheni. Now here's the question. Let's say the water, now kli sheni, for practical purposes, we hold, let's assume this, a kli sheni, you cannot be in violation min hatoira of cooking in a kli sheni. So if I have a boiling pot of water, which I've boiled up, it's very, very hot, and then take that water and I pour it into a second utensil. By definition, even though we may not appreciate this, and it may not even make a difference scientifically, but in halacha, when you take boiling hot water and you pour it into a second utensil, in the world of halacha, that kli sheni has lost its potency. If you now take a piece of chicken and you immerse it in this boiling hot water, and that boiling hot water transforms the chicken from something which until now was not edible and now becomes edible, that's an iser derabbanan of bishul. That's not min haTorah. Min haTorah, that's not called bishul, because that's not the way it was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, it was done in its original utensil, in its original form. By transferring into a second utensil, even though it may indeed be very, very hot, and they have the ability to cook the chicken into something which is different than it was before. Until now, you would not eat the chicken. Now you will eat the chicken. But since this is not the way it was done in the Mishkan, this is not called Bishul Min HaTorah. This is called Bishul Midrabanan. And it is awesome. Now here's the catch. The only time, being that it's only awesome Midrabanan, the only time the Rabbanan said, according to most opinions, that we're not going to allow you to cook in a kli sheni is only when you do the violation of the first type of cooking. When you're taking something that until now was not edible, and through the hot water in the kli sheni, you make it edible. You transform the object into a new object. But if the cooking in the kli sheni is not of that type, it's category B, where you're taking something which until now was edible, something which until now it was edible, and you're just enhancing it, then the Rabbanan did not withhold you from doing a bishul in that secondary utensil. Now, in other words, a liquid. So now let's discuss instant coffee for a moment. Okay, let's discuss instant coffee. Instant coffee, how is instant coffee made? This is the way they make instant coffee. They brew regular coffee, just like you go into a good restaurant or a good bagel shop, and they have brewed coffee. You go to Dunkin' Donuts, wherever you go, and they brew coffee. That's how they begin the process of making instant coffee. They make the coffee, and they make it very hot, and the coffee begins to produce steam. That steam is captured and is put through a process of some type of process where the steam is dried. And as the steam dries in a special technique, as they dry that steam, the steam turns into flakes. And those flakes become instant coffee. So yeah, a container of Taster's Choice. What really do you have in Taster's Choice? A flake. That flake is brewed coffee that turned into steam, which was captured and was made cold in such a way where it dried out into a flake. So that flake that you have in your possession was already cooked because you started off with coffee beans, which were not edible. The coffee beans in no way were edible. And they were cooked in boiling hot water, which was a bishul d'oraisa. And that produced steam. And that steam was then captured and dried through a sophisticated technique. And the dried air, the dried flavor in the air, turned into a particle, a flake, which we call the flake of instant coffee. So that flake is a product of something which was already cooked. It was already cooked. So we have a principle. Ein bishul achar bishul. There is a rule that once something in the Torah was cooked, there's no prohibition to cook it again. However, okay, this goes back to the principle I said before, that's only true when it comes to, that's only true, this the Chazal will lean in, this ein bishul achar bishul is only true when it comes to this class B, the second category, where you just transforming it to a better state. Okay, and there's another issue, I'm saying, I didn't really prepare enough for this, but there's another issue, and that is things that can melt. Solubles. Something which can melt, have also a much more lenient status when it comes to bishul achar bishul. So here's the point we want to make. If you have a cup of coffee, yeah, you have instant coffee flakes, and you have in your possession boiling hot water. The original boiling hot water. You have a pot of boiling hot water. Are you permitted to take the coffee flakes, the instant coffee flakes, and put the instant coffee flakes into the Kli Rishon? Min HaTorah, yes. According to the Torah, you are permitted to take the coffee flakes and put them into the pot of boiling hot water, which has the status of a Kli Rishon. Why? Because the coffee flakes already have been cooked. They are a product of coffee beans, which were not cooked and were cooked, produced steam, which was solidified into flakes. The product is something which already has been cooked. Ein bishul achar bishul, even if you were to take the flakes and put the flakes into the Kli Rishon. However, the Rabbanim came along and said, do not do that. You're not allowed to recook something that was cooked in a Kli Rishon. Even though we hold ein bishul achar bishul, not in a Kli Rishon. However, in a Kli Sheni, it's permitted. That far, Chazal did not go. Since anyway, why? Because really it's a combination of two concepts. Because in a Kli Sheni, even if you were to cook coffee beans, would to cook something which was never cooked until now in a Kli Sheni, that itself is only Osur Midrabanon, according to most opinions. So certainly, when you're dealing with something which was already cooked, and something which was already cooked in the Kli Rishon itself would only be an Isur Midrabanan. So here it's basically a combination of two Isur Midrabanan. When you have two Isur Midrabanan, we can be lenient. Again, if I were to cook in the Kli Rishon something that was already cooked, that would only be Isur Midrabanan. If I were to cook in the Kli Sheni something that was never cooked, that would be also an Isur Midrabanan. So now when I have a Kli Sheni and I'm cooking something that was already cooked, namely the instant coffee, which already was cooked, that instance, Chazal said it's permitted without restrictions. So that is why, when it comes to making instant coffee, using instant coffee, the first thing we have to do is transfer the water from its original state, where it's boiling hot, the original utensil, which is a kli rishon, which is a lethal, because that original pot of boiling hot water is what happened in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, there was a boiling pot of hot water in which they immersed, they cooked dyes. They took different herbs or different items which were never cooked, and they immersed it in this boiling pot of hot water in order to extract, in order to bring about a chemical change in these items for a purpose. So if to take that boiling pot of hot water is a lethal item, because that can be the source of melacha deraisa of bishul, we don't want to do that. We don't want to deal with that. We have to first transfer the water into a kli sheni. Now that it's in a kli sheni, now we can start talking. What exactly do we want to put into the kli sheni? We want to put into the kli sheni something that was never cooked until now. I'll give you an example. What about a tea bag? Tea. What's in a tea bag? Tea leaves. Have the tea leaves ever been cooked? No. The tea leaves have never been cooked before. The water is so hot in the kli sheni, it will definitely cook the tea leaves. And the proof is in the pudding, because when you'll taste the water, you'll taste the tea. So being that the tea leaves were never cooked before, and you want to put them in a kli sheni, it's osur. You're not allowed to do that. How do you make tea? We'll come to that in a moment. But what about instant coffee? Yeah, instant coffee has already been cooked. It's a product. In fact, it's been so cooked. Not only has it been cooked, it couldn't be cooked more, because instant coffee is the product of something which has been so thoroughly cooked. You're only dealing with you're not even dealing with the original. You're dealing with the vapor, with the steam that's been solidified. That's how cooked it's been. It couldn't be possibly more cooked. So there's no problem of taking something which already has been cooked, ein bishul achar bishul, and putting it into the kli sheni, because ein bishul achar bishul, and there's no bishul min ha-Torah in a kli sheni. It's a combination of two things coming together. Now let's make things a little more complicated in order that this shir should be something a little more than just basic halacha. If I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Yashiv held a very big chiddush, which is not accepted la halacha. No one accepts la halacha. Rabbi Yashiv held that in the process of making coffee, when they take the vapor and they solidify it, that he held was a din of afiyah, of baking. In other words, when you next time you look at Taster's Choice instant coffee, you look at those flakes, look at it like a lamdan. Every flake has gone through two halachic processes according to Rabbi Yashiv. Number one, it was cooked. Coffee beans were cooked, vaporized. Not just vaporized, but it produced vapor. That's called cooking. Then the process of taking the vapor and making it into a solid flake, in his opinion, is an act of baking. So there is bishul, and then there is afia. What do you do when you bake? What do? You take a batter, you take water and flour, a ton of sugar and eggs, all of this stuff that's poison, and you put it into this pot, into this bowl, and you mush it with your bare hands. It's mush. It's a liquid. It's a liquid. It's water, flour, and then you put it in an oven. Presto. You take heat, and that heat makes it into a solid. You can touch it. You can pick it up. You can grab it. That's a maisa afia, taking a liquid or an object which is more liquid than solid and producing something which is more solid than liquid. This, in his opinion, is called a maase of afia. So according to Rabbi Yashiv, when you look at that flake, those teeny little flakes, they're very dangerous. They have gone through a double halachic process. They've gone through a maase of bishul. The coffee bean has turned into vapor. That's bishul. that vapor has then been transformed into a solid flake. It sounds like Star Wars, right? So every cup of coffee, you have an instant. That's afia. Now, here's the big question. If I have something that's been baked, am I allowed to cook it? Baking is direct fire. You put bread into an oven, a batter into an oven. What it makes the batter, the dough, into bread? Heat. There's no water. You put dough into an oven. There's just heat. The heat transforms the dough into a product. That is called baking. Cooking involves the medium of water. Are you permitted on Shabbos to cook something that was baked? This is a very big machlokes. Different opinions on this matter. Is there what's called bishul achar afia? Is there afia achar bishul? And generally we're machmir. Generally we hold that is ein bishul achar bishul. Min ha-Torah, once you've already transformed an object through cooking, there is no way in the world, min ha-Torah, you can be in violation for cooking it again. Gesundheit, once already you have baked something, there is no way in the world you can be in violation for afia by baking it again. That's a given. Ein bishul achar bishul, ein afia achar afia. Question is, if you take a piece of bread and you put it in boiling hot water, Kli Rishon, the real deal, you take challah and you put the challah, take the challah and put the challah in the soup that's on the range, or even if you take it off the range, in the Kli Rishon, have you just violated a melacha d'oraisa of cooking? I've taken an object which has been baked, and I'm now cooking it. It's a big problem. Many poskim say yes. It's melacha deraisa to put, like even croutons. You know, you cook. If it's very, very high, that's already a klishlishi. When you get, by the time it gets to you, it's a klishlishi. I'm talking about taking the actual pot of soup that's been resting on the fire, that's still bubbling hot, to put bread into that pot. You're taking an object that has been baked, and you're putting it into a liquid. There's a change. That change is called, it's been cooked. I mean, the fact is that it's been changed because it's now it's in boiling hot water. Is that a melacha deraisa? That is called bishul achar afia. Now here is the lam shashayla or liyashiv, I'm sure it's Zalman Arbach, coffee flakes, instant coffee. And liyashiv holds, as I mentioned, it's a chiddush, which if I'm not mistaken, we don't accept, this is not accepted by the Hamoinam. There are two chidushim, he says. Number one, every coffee flake has undergone two steps, bishul and afia. Abel Yashiv holds, once it undergoes bishul, afia, it turns into a solid, the maise afia negates. It rewrites history. It's like it was never cooked. The cooking is ancient history. It never was cooked. Or even if you do hold it was cooked, once upon a time was cooked, but now it had an act of afia, of baking. If I take this object now and I put it into a kli rishon, into hot water, in halacha, it's called bishul achar afia. It's called cooking after baking. Now you'll say to me, what do you mean? How could you say this cooking after baking when there already was cooking? It already was cooked. Ein bishul achar bishul. No. Ein bishul achar bishul is when you have a pure bishul, and now you want to do a second bishul. But here, you've done a bishul, then you've done an afia, and now you want to do another bishul. That's osser. he holds that is equivalent to bishul achar afia, which generally we're machmir. You're not allowed to do as if it's a melacha d'oraisa. Oh, but what do you mean? But I already cooked it once. That's ancient history. You may have cooked it, but subsequently you baked it. And by baking it, we have to deal with either one of two things. Either the cooking no longer exists, or even if you'll say that this thing does carry with it a history of cooking, but there's a new element, the element of it has been baked. And now that element of what has been baked, if it's now going to be cooked, it's a bishul achar afia. Therefore, what's the problem? The problem is you can't do this even in a kli sheni. In a kli rishon, you can't do anything. That we know. But in a kli sheni, we learned, in a kli sheni, you're allowed to do a bishul achar bishul. Once the utensil, the water, is no longer its original source, that's not the way it was in the Mishkan, for me to take in a kli sheni, something that was never ever cooked, and put in a kli sheni, in a cliche that I'm not allowed to do. Midrabanan, I am not allowed to take something that was never cooked and cook it in a cliche. You're not allowed to do that. So instant coffee is not a problem, because instant coffee, there's been nothing cooked in the world more than instant coffee. It's turned into vapor, and that vapor is the product of something that has been cooked, and now it turns into a flake, so therefore it's bishul achar bishul, in the most classic, in the most perfect sense. So putting this into a kli sheni is mutter, because even a kli sheni in general is a midrabanan, and bishul achar bishul in the kli rishon is a midrabanan. So you combine two midrabanans when it comes to a kli sheni, it's mutter l'chatchila. No, you don't have that leniency when it comes to instant coffee, because instant coffee is not called bishul achar bishul. It's called bishul v'afia. And now when you're going to put it, it's going to be a bishul achar afia achar bishul, which she holds is just as bad as bishul achar afia. And that would result in not being permitted to make coffee in a kli sheni. Now, we don't accept this. There's no one that accepts this lahalach unless you really, really machmir. The Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, disagreed, and he held no such thing. Once you do bishul, it's bishul. You're done. It's bishul. There's a shail of doing afiachar bishul. Okay, you didn't. That was done in the factory. They made the coffee flakes for you by doing an afiachar bishul. That does not take away from the fact that this thing was cooked. And right now, you're coming to cook it. It's bishul achar bishul. Don't confuse me with the afia. And afia achar bishul, there's no such thing as a prohibition of doing a bishul achar afia achar bishul. No such thing. The original transformation is bishul v'zehu. You have a shayla, afia achar bishul. We're not discussing that. Good, gesunde, hey, someone did an afia achar bishul. But the afia achar bishul does not take away from this object the status of a cooked object. And therefore, for you to go put it in a kli sheni, the only shayla you have to deal with is bishul achar bishul. In a kli sheni, bishul achar bishul is mutter, especially when it's a soluble. That's a very important element. Since anyway, it's going to melt. And you're not really changing it anyway. There's no real change. You're just making it edible. You're just making it in a better state. You're not actually making any major change. If you put it in your mouth, it'll melt in your mouth the same way. Take a coffee flake and put it in your mouth, it'll melt the same way. There's no change that makes it from something that's not edible to edible. It's all the same anyway. So therefore, he holds its mutter. There's nothing to this. But it's an incredible lumdus to appreciate what's going on over here. Instant coffee, what is that? Here comes the problem. I heard someone told me, I was talking to someone about this, reviewing this with someone yesterday, in preparation for today. So he told me that Rabbi Weiss, or Mr. Kalani, you hear Mr. Kalani? He told me about this. Mr. Kalani is over here. So he was telling me about Rav Usher Weiss. I didn't hear the shiur, but Rav Usher Weiss spoke about, I have no idea what this is about, and there's a new thing out there in Eretz Yisrael. There's a new exotic type of instant coffee. It's an instant coffee, but it's a flavored. It's a flavored instant coffee. Have to be very careful. There are certain new types of products that come out on the market all the time. And this new product, after they produce the flakes, they add to it other ingredients, other natural ingredients that have never been cooked before. And when you take these flakes, it's not just a flake. It's a flake, that's the primary object. But added into the flake is flavoring that through food technology they're able to append to the flake of other herbs and ingredients, natural ingredients that have never been cooked before. And when you put that into your klisheni, you're in violation. Because now you're doing a real bishul for the first time in a kli sheni. So, halacha l'maisa, when it comes to coffee, the most important thing is, for instant coffee, number one is to check the instant coffee, that it's a regular instant coffee. All the standard coffees that we have today, Taster's Choice, Folgers, all the basic brands that we're familiar with, Maxwell House, these are regular instant coffee. They're pure flakes. It's mutter. There's nothing to discuss. It's mutter. We're in a kli sheni. How do we do this? We pour the water from the kli rishon into a kli sheni. By doing so, the water is no longer dangerous because the water is no longer the way it was in the Mishkan. Any harm you'll do now can only at most be a midrabanan. And midrabanan, it's indeed usur to cook something for the very first time in a kli sheni, and that's why you have to make sure that you're not using some exotic, new, high-tech, flavored coffee with ingredients that have never been cooked. But if you're dealing with your standard Taster's Choice, Maxwell House, Folgers, which are just flakes, it's now going to be a shail of bishul achar bishul. In a kli rishon, it's usur, but in a kli sheni, since there's no bishul minatar to begin with, it'll be two midrabanans. It is permitted now to add the instant coffee into the coffee. But there's another problem. By doing that. What's the other problem by doing that? By doing that, you're coloring the water. Soiveya. You're coloring the water because the water is clear. By putting your instant coffee into a clear pot of water, the water now gets dark. You have dyed the water. Shaila, is there a prohibition of tzoveya, dyeing, on Shabbos? On food. Tzoveya, oichlin b'Shabbos. This is a disagreement. Machloikas. Some say yes, some say no. Generally, we're very lenient. Comes to food, everything goes. Food, we're very, very lenient. But there are people that are very machmir that say that a person should be machmir, should not engage in coloring food on Shabbos. So taking a hot cup of water and adding flakes, although you're no longer in violation of bishul, because it's a klisheni, and the flakes are bishul achar bishul, and we've already said that we're not going to accept the chumrah of Rabbi Yashiv and say that there's going to be an issue over here of bishul achar afia, achar bishul. We're going to reject that. So everything is good. No, not everything is good, because by doing so, you're going to dye, you're going to color the water.
Isn't it a no miskaveh?
What? So what? The psik reisha. It's a psik reisha. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. Davar shein miskaveh is only mutter when it's not a guarantee that it's going to happen. If it's a guarantee that what you do will result in Chil Shabbos, it is forbidden. So why don't we deal with the issue of tzoveh? So indeed, so what would be the solution for that? The solution would be to use a kli shlishi. So in other words, take the water from the kli sheni. Now here's the issue. First, add the instant coffee to the kli shlishi. Add the instant coffee to the kli shlishi, an empty cup. Add the instant coffee. And then pour from the kli sheni into the kli shlishi. So that the moment the water hits the cup, it is instantly colored. That is not the normal way in the industry, in the eyes of Chazal, things are dyed. Things are dyed. You deal with a liquid and you add an ingredient to dye the liquid. That's the way it's normally done. To add the ingredients and pour the water is considered to be a shinui, abnormal. So here, and since anyway there's a big debate if there's a prohibition to dye food on Shabbos, is there prohibition? Everyone will agree that if you do it with a shinui in an abnormal way, you can be lenient. So a solution would be, for those that want to be very machmir on the halacha of tzaveya ba'eichlin, dyeing food, is to take a third utensil and insert first the instant coffee into the third utensil and then pour from the second utensil into the third utensil. So now even though the result will be you'll have water that is dark, that's not the common way to do it. Now with the milk, it's the same problem. You know, I don't know how do you add the milk now. He doesn't discuss that. Now how you add the milk, it's going to be the same problem. You're also going to be done. So you're going to have to add the milk. Yeah, I guess you'll have to add the milk first. Add the milk first. I guess so. I guess you would add the milk, put the coffee, and you add the milk. The milk is not going to change color from the coffee, not very much. And then it's also sushi. You add the coffee, then you add the milk. I guess that's what you have to do. You would have to add the milk first. Now there's a problem though with this as well. This is a catch-22, which basically the result is there's no solution. And that is, it's called moilad, muksa. When you take a solid, even a flake, and you transform it into a liquid, that is a sha'ila of being over an iser derabanan of muksa. Muksa represents the concept of one of the forms of muksa is to create something new, a new state. And there's a question, is it of moiled by food? When you take hot water and you pour it on coffee flakes, it automatically, instantly transforms the solid flakes into a liquid. What will be the solution? The solution is put the coffee, add the water, and then add the coffee flakes. Oh, but I'm transforming it. It's indirect. It doesn't happen right away. When you pour hot water upon the pressure, this is the halacha, the force of the water on the flakes instantly your action is transforming it. It's how halacha looks at it. It's transforming the flakes into a liquid. But if you have a liquid and you just drop flakes into the liquid, it takes a second for them to dissolve. It doesn't dissolve as fast. The rate of them dissolving is less, is considered to be, for whatever reason, I'm not sure the dynamics of every prod, is considered to be indirect. So doing that would not be a solution because then you violate the halach of moilad. So what should you do? So basically he shows over here catch-22. There is no solution. Okay, there is no solution. It's not a perfect world. Obviously, you're allowed to drink coffee and you should drink coffee, obviously. But it just goes to show how complex it is to make a cup of coffee. Let's review all the different issues that we've brought out over here. And then we'll discuss tea and discuss styrofoam. We have to discuss styrofoam cups, tea and tea bags. And lemon. But let's just discuss what we've learned so far. Coffee flakes are a complex creature in this world. They've gone through in halacha, for sure, bishul, and possibly afia. We're getting involved in the halachic shaila. Ein bishul achar bishul. Number two, there's a principle, yesh bishul achar afia. It is prohibited to cook after you've baked. Coffee flakes have first been cooked, and then, according to Rabbi Yashiv, have been baked. For you to take these coffee flakes and insert them, to pour them, to deposit them in boiling hot water, that would constitute a bishul, achar afia, achar bishul. What's the status? What's the halach? Are you allowed to do that? Even in a cliche, Rabbi Yasha says no. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says yes, and that's how we pass. However, you can't do this in a Kli Rishon, because even though we have a principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, but Midrabanan, you're not allowed to do a Bishul Achar Bishul in a Kli Rishon. But in a Kli Sheni, it's Mutter. Because in the Kli Sheni, even if it would not have been cooked, there would be no prohibition. And Bishul Achar Bishul, even in the Kli Rishon, would only be Midrabanan. So we combine two Midrabanans of a Kli Sheni, and in Bishul Achar Bishul, it would be permitted. So many people, this is what many people do, it's very, very common, is you take water from the urn, which is a Kli Rishon, or from the kettle, which is a Kli Rishon, and you pour it and you deposit the water from the urn, the kettle, into a utensil. That utensil, that is now a Kli Sheni. That really is a Kli Sheni. And now all you need to do now is now you add the coffee into the Kli Sheni. Now, I want to clarify one point. It is forbidden, though, to add the coffee first, the coffee flakes first into the cup. If you have a cup, and you put in the cup the coffee flakes, and you pour from the kettle into the cup, that's forbidden. Why? I didn't explain this point. It's an important point. That's called Irui Kli Rishon. The flow of water, the initial flow of water coming from the Kli Rishon, has the same exact status as if you cooked the object in the Kli Rishon. The water first has to settle in a second utensil for it to have the status of a Kli Sheni. So for me to take a cup and to deposit coffee flakes and to pour from the kettle into this cup, and the water will make instant contact with the flakes in the cup, that is a violation of Bishul in a Kli Rishon, even though the utensil I'm holding in my hand is a Kli Sheni, but because the water is being poured from a Kli Rishon, the pouring of a Kli Rishon has the same status as the Kli Rishon. So first we have to pour the water from the Kli Rishon to the Kli Sheni. The Kli Sheni now has the halachic status of a Kli Sheni. Now I can take the flakes and put them into the Kli Sheni. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. And it's a Kli Sheni. Everything is going for me. Oh, you'll say to me, but it's Soveya Ba'echlin. So you can be lenient. Most of us we don't accept this as a halacha. When it comes to food, there is no prohibition of changing its color. There's no such principle. There's a malacha d'oraisa of changing wool to a different color. But there's no malacha d'oraisa, not midrabanan, of changing the color of a food by adding ingredients. So you don't have to be machmir. You can put the coffee flakes into the cup of coffee. Those who want to be machmir find themselves in a new dilemma. The way to avoid tzoveya would be to put the coffee flakes into a kli shlishi and to pour from the kli sheni into the kli shlishi. Now you'll ask me, but what about pouring? Isn't pouring considered to be a kli sheni? No, it's not. This principle that when you pour has the same status as where it came from only applies when you go from the kli rishon into the kli sheni. When you pour from the Kli Sheni into the Kli Shlishi, the flow of liquid coming from the Kli Sheni to the Kli Shlishi, that flow has the status of a Kli Shlishi. So it's not considered, that's not really relevant to our discussion anyway. That's something relevant for tea. But if you put the flakes into the Kli Shlishi and you pour the water, maybe that's not called a violation of Tzoveya because you're doing it unnaturally. That's not the way you normally do tzoveya. Tzoveya, you first put the water, then you add the ingredients. So you're doing the opposite. That is not accepted. That would be a solution. But that solution creates a new problem, because by doing so, by you pouring the water directly on the flakes, that can be considered by many poskim to be called moilet. You are transforming a solid directly into a liquid. So it's catch 22. What is the lesser of the evils? Is it worse to color the food, or is it worse to be engaged in moilet? That's your choice. That's your decision. That's a dilemma. Okay, now there's another principle which the place can talk about, and that is where the water is so burning hot, it is what's called kidei nichvespo. When the water is so scalding hot, there are some opinions that hold there is no difference between a kli rishon, a kli sheni. It doesn't make a difference. When the water is at such a high temperature that the intensity, now what that temperature is, no one knows. No one has given us a definition. Then a kli sheni is the same thing as a kli rishon. So if you have water in a kettle and the water is, I don't know what temperature it can reach, but it's abnormal. And you pour the water from the kettle into a cup, and the cup is burning hot. There are opinions that say adding coffee, instant coffee, will be forbidden. Because even though technically it's called a kli sheni, but since the water is so burning hot, it has the status of a kli rishon. And we learned that in a kli rishon, you're not allowed to engage in bishul achar bishul. So what should you do? So some will say you should pour into a kli shlishi. Because even if you hold there is a principle of kedei nichvespa, which means you can get burnt, that principle only extends as far as a second utensil, not to a third utensil. Okay, these are all these, but these are chumers which we don't follow. Rav Moshe Feinstein does not hold of kli nichvespo. Rav Moshe Feinstein this is something which we're not familiar with, and we don't accept this either as halach. Okay, now there's another very interesting issue. We're talking about a kettle. This is something very interesting. This is a chumra, which you don't have to be machmir, but this is an interesting concept. Let's say you have an urn. Very interesting shayla. You have an urn. Old-fashioned urn, which has a water gauge. Okay, on the outside of the urn, there's a water gauge. You fill up the urn before Shabbos for the very first time. You fill it up, plug it in, fill it up. It's boiling. Okay, the urn indicates that it's boiling hot. Talk about the old-fashioned urn, which has the gauge on the outside, like your boiler. The gauge, the water gauge, is not on the inside. The new urns, the high-tech urns that you press, you press down, they have the water gauge on the inside. There's a little window you can see the inside. Even that's not so simple. But the water gauge on the old-fashioned on the outside, it appears through study and experimentation. The water in the gauge, when you fill it up for the very, very first time, does not reach the boiling point, does not reach the temperature of the water inside the urn. I don't know what the temperatures are. I don't know all the details, but when you fill up an urn, the water inside the urn reaches a very significant temperature. The water in the gauge on the outside does not reach that temperature. Does not, it's on the outside. It just somehow the water flows into the gauge, but it doesn't get that hot. It gets hot. It's certainly yatzeledespo. I'm assuming it's yatzeledespo, but it's not all that hot. What happens when the first time, for the very first time, you open the spout and you release water? What happens? Water from the gauge mingles with water from what's inside the urn. What happens? That water now, its temperature is raised to a much higher degree. Some want to suggest that's bishul. Since the water on the outside in the gauge was never fully cooked, it did not reach the temperature, the halachic temperature of cooking, whatever that may be. It's certainly not the temperature of what's inside the urn. When you open up the spout for the first time, you are causing the water in the gauge to mingle with the water on the inside. The waters are now mingling, that activity, and that causes bishul deraisa. It can be bishul deraisa. That can be a problem. What is the solution? The solution is that before Shabbos begins, not only should the urn be fully hot, you should open up the spout and fill up one cup of water and pour it out. By doing so, by opening up the spout one time, you are forcing before Shabbos the water in the gauge to mingle, to be cooked, and now all the water has already been cooked. So even if the temperature now goes, below later on Shabbos and the gauge cools down, but it would now, if on Shabbos, when you would go, when you open up the spout, it would be a bishul, achar bishul, only indirectly, which would be permitted. Now this problem is not as much of a problem when it comes to the new urns that are very common today, where you have to push down on the very top, you have to push down in the center. Those urns, the gauge is not on the outside, it's on the inside. So there it appears the water does become very, very hot in the gauge, equivalent to what's inside the urn itself. Some say it has not, some say it's not true, it has not come, does not even there it does not reach the same temperature. And even there it would be advisable, if you can, to open, to release a cup of water before Shabbos in order there should not be any bishul from the water in the gauge. Now this is controversial, because there are many poskim that say that even if it's true, that the water is not so hot, the entire thing is indirect. It's an indirect action, and you couldn't care less what happens, and already is hot to a degree. So when you combine all of the factors that it is hot, it may not be as hot as the rest of the water inside, and your action is only indirect, and you are not concerned about this water, this is not your objective, all of these factors combine together to permit a person just not to worry about this. I've never heard of this before. This to me is the chesh, but I'm just telling this to you for the lumbus. It's just interesting lumbus of how all these things work with the gauge. Okay, the next thing is making tea. The Mishnah Berurah quotes an opinion that says, when it comes to cooking, there are certain items that can be cooked very easily. They have a very low threshold of what they need in order to be transformed. And these items can be cooked even in a kli sheni. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, the main heter comes from Rav Moshe Feinstein, he says, even things that are categorized as items that can be cooked very easily, and we hold the halacha tea can be cooked very, very easily, should not be prepared in a kli sheni. Tea should be prepared in a kli shlishi, a tea bag. So you pour the water from the kettle into a cup. That's the kli sheni. From that cup, you pour it into a second cup. And in the second cup, you can dip the tea bag. Now you can put it in a tea bag. And now we have a new shayla. Now what about dyeing? Okay, so we just said that we're not going to be machmir on tzedeya, but there's a new shayla with a tea bag that you are boirer. The whole purpose of the tea bag is to prevent the tea leaves from separating into the water. Sifting, merakeit, borer. So you have to be very careful. You insert the tea bag into the kli shlishi. You can push it in there, or let it drop there by itself, but don't shake it up. You have to be very delicate. Just let it sit there. By shaking, pulling the string up and down, up and down, up and down, that is forbidden. You just let it sit there. It may take a little bit longer for the flavor to come out, but to squeeze it and to shake it up and down is a real shayla of merakeit, of sifting.
The solution is to make tea scents.
Right. The Mishnah Berurah does not even talk about it. The Mishnah Berurah says that the Mishnah Berurah, there's a very big dilemma what the Mishnah Berurah holds with regard to a kli shlishi. The Mishnah Berurah says tea essence, where you make an intense concentrated liquid before Shabbos, that's an ideal thing to do. And then you could that you put it, that's already bishul, already cooked, that you treat like instant coffee. And that you put into the kli sheni. That's one solution. But not everyone I see today is so interested in making essence before Shabbos. They just want to use a tea bag. And a tea bag is fine. But the only thing you have to be careful is to remove the tea bag. You're not allowed to pull it up by the string. Because by pulling it up by the string, you are a violation of merakeit, of sifting, or of you're basically sifting the water out of the bag and the flavor. You have to remove it with a spoon. The way you make, if you want to use tea bags on Shabbos, you have a kli shlishi, a kli shlishi. You pour the water into a kli rishon, from the kli rishon to a kli shlishi. You then insert the tea bag, and then, or if you want, you can put the tea bag in first, and you can pour the water from the kli sheni onto the kli shlishi, and you let it sit there for a minute or two, whatever it is, and then very delicately you put a spoon. I don't squeeze it. And just lift the tea bag out of the cup with a spoon, the big spoon, without pressing, without any pressure. There should be absolutely no application of pressure upon the bag to remove the leaves and separate the water, that's the water and flavor that is in the bag from the leaves. That's mamish merakit. That's mamish boirer merakit. But if you take a spoon and just pick it up, you're not applying any pressure. You're lifting it out naturally. That is permitted. What about a lemon? A lemon is never been cooked. Okay, the juice of the lemon should be added into the klisheni, like we said before. There's no tzaveh with the lemon. The question with the lemon is, can you put the lemon, can you squeeze the lemon? Are you permitted to squeeze the lemon on Shabbos? Meforek. So Shulchan Aruch says you can, really you can.
Isn't schita?
Schita. The only time there's nisa d'oraisa of schita is when you want the liquid. Now halacha l'maisa, when it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to do it, that was in the time of Chazal, where they never want, the reason why they squeezed the lemon was to get rid of the liquid. Today, we squeeze lemon because we want the liquid. So today, it's different. It's forbidden to squeeze the lemon into tea. It is forbidden. What could you do? So there's a leniency, which not everyone agrees is such a great leniency, is to squeeze the lemon onto sugar. When you squeeze a liquid, when you squeeze a food onto another food, you go from food to food. If you squeeze a lemon, which is a solid, onto sugar, which is also a solid. And by the way, sugar also has been cooked. Most sugars have also been cooked, so therefore they have the same status as flakes. That is permitted. So you squeeze the lemon onto sugar, you go from a solid to a solid, and then you can deposit the sugar into the hot water. Not everyone agrees that's such a good idea, because since the goal is ultimately to put into a liquid, it's like going from a solid to a liquid. The best thing, of course, is to have lemon juice, is to have to purchase in the store lemon juice and not to deal with lemons and squeezing lemons. Squeezing lemons is a complicated halachic shaila. If you're really allowed to squeeze a lemon, you certainly cannot squeeze the lemon directly into the tea. That you cannot. That's certainly forbidden. To take a lemon and to squeeze the lemon into a tea, that's schita, that's called meforek, that is forbidden. The question is, can you squeeze the lemon on sugar, onto a solid? And that solid, then take that solid and deposit that solid into the liquid. That is a technique that many people do, but not everyone agrees that that technique is correct either, for different reasons. So therefore, the best thing would be over here would be basically to either prepare lemon before Shabbos, squeeze lemons before Shabbos, or put the whole lemon inside. Just put the lemon inside. Just take the lemon and put the lemon like a Diet Coke. Diet Coke. They put a lemon in the bottle. No one stopped anyone from taking Diet Coke because there's a lemon in the bottle, so no one's going to stop your tea from having the lemon inside the tea, but not to actually squeeze the lemon. Otherwise, to have lemon juice before. So if Allah Almighty, now one more quick thing, and that is styrofoam cups. Rabelski had a tremendous chumrah, which people don't accept, but he held that a styrofoam cup is a kli rishon. If you pour, today styrofoam cups are illegal. You know that in New York City it's illegal? You can buy them on Amazon still. You can buy styrofoam cups on Amazon, but they're not allowed to sell them in New York, out of state. But styrofoam cups, they're going to be gone soon. But he held that a styrofoam cup, the whole purpose of a styrofoam cup is to preserve the heat, has the status of a kli rishon. Incredible chiddush. A thermos as well. If you pour water from a kettle into a styrofoam cup, according to Rabelski, you're not allowed to add instant coffee. If you pour the styrofoam cup number one to styrofoam cup number two, You go nowhere. Because a styrofoam cup preserves the heat. It's such a good, it's such an amazing object that preserves heat. There's no loss of heat. This is not equivalent to what Chazal are talking about, of going into a kli sheni. By definition, when you go from a kli rishon to a kli sheni, there's a massive loss of heat. When you go to a thermos or into a styrofoam cup that is not cooled, you've gone from a kli rishon to a kli sheni. A styrofoam cup is called a kli rishon. So there's no solution. You can't really use a styrofoam. I don't know what he says about a kli shlishi. He doesn't talk about it. A kli shlishi styrofoam cup, a kli revi. However, this is not accepted. There is no one that follows this. This is a chiddush. This is a chiddush which the Hamoin Am has not accepted as halacha. We don't follow this. So just to summarize in 10 seconds, everything we learned today. We learned today about a kli rishon, a kli sheni, and a kli shlishi. And a kli rishon, you can't do anything. Nothing. First thing on Shabbos, the kli sheni. And a kli sheni, there are instant coffee flakes, which you're allowed to cook instant coffee flakes into a kli in a kli sheni because ein bishul achar bishul, and it's anyway melacha derabanan at most because it's only a kli sheni. It's something called kale habishul, tea leaves or things of the like which can be cooked very quickly in very low temperatures. Some hold that cannot be done in a kli sheni, and halacha lemaisa we accept that as a fact. Tea cannot be prepared in a kli sheni. A tea must be prepared in a kli shlishi. You want to use tea leaves. Tea leaves, which by the way, the tea leaves have never been cooked. Okay, the tea leaves have never been cooked. So you have to use, the tea leaves have to be cooked in a kli shlishi. According to the Mishnah Berurah in a kli shlishi, according to they don't dissolve tea leaves. So tea leaves have to be cooked in a kli shlishi, in a tea bag. Or the best thing would be essence. Essence is in concentrated in the form of tea we make before Shabbos. That's been cooked already, so that you can put into a kli sheni. Then we learned about kedei nichvespo. If it's burning, burning hot, some say if it's burning, burning hot, then a kli sheni has the status of a kli rishon. So better go into a kli shlishi. Then we have the shayla of tzeveya. You're dying the food. It can be lenient. You have an issue. How do you avoid tzeveya? By putting in the ingredients first. But that creates a new problem of moilets. Catch 22, there's really no solution. The gauge outside of the urn, when you prepare, it's going to be cooking that water. So the best thing would be to take a cup of water before Shabbos out. But that's a very big chumah which most people don't do. It's not necessary, according to most people, to do such a thing. And then there is the issue of lemon, not to squeeze the lemon. Then the issue of the tea bags. You can use a tea bag, but do not pull it by the string. Remove it delicately with a spoon without applying any pressure. And what else do we discuss? Flavored coffee. You have to be very careful to watch out for different types of exotic coffees, instant coffees, coffees that are advertised as instant, but they add more ingredients. They add different herbs, different this, different that, and many times these items that have been added to enhance the instant flakes are ingredients that have never been cooked before. To take something that's never been cooked before, even a kli sheni, would be forbidden. So that has to be thought of. To pour directly from a kli rishon into a kli sheni has the same status as pouring from a kli rishon. To pour from a kli sheni into a kli shlishi, not. When you pour from a kli sheni to a kli shlishi, that's the status of a kli shlishi. So when it comes to coffee, when it comes to coffee, when it comes to coffee, when it comes to tea, that's going to be okay. Because tea, you can pour from a kli sheni to a kli shlishi. That's already called a kli shlishi. When you put the tea bag in first in the kli shlishi, and you pour from a kli sheni to a kli shlishi, that would be okay. All right, I hope you got something out of this. I know it's a little confusing. I don't explain things very well. But I hope at least we got some little bit of an appreciation of making coffee on Shabbos. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. And again, Mazel Tov, Rabbi Choyl. Go to the Shevet Brachas. Malei Shavu Azois. A whole week of Shevet Brachas, and everyone, be simchas for everyone. Be well, Rabbi Yisai. And Rabbi Yisai, thank you. Thank you all. Thank you all for the gift. Thank you all for the gift, Rabbi Yisai. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for the gift, and Rabbi Choyl for making this possible. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. Yes.
Thank you for making it necessary.
What is that, Yogi Berra?
Yes, yes, I'm listening. Yes, yes.
If you come to the event and you share a big horn with coffee.
Yeah.
And you just...
What?
And you come to event.
Yes.
It's a big horn with coffee already, coffee inside. And you use it without Rishon, whatever, just...
That when you come to an event and they have outside a big Shabbos, a big urn, that is already a klisheni. Everything in that big urn, they have a big pot of hot water.
It's heated all the time. I'm not sure.
There are many different types of scenarios. I'm not sure exactly, but you have to assume that you go to an event and there's a mashkiach.
Regular Shabbos pot, but with coffee inside.
Right.
Water, but coffee already.
Right, there's already coffee inside. Correct. I don't know how everyone... There are different techniques. I don't know exactly the case that you're referring to. I know what you mean. You come, you have an urn, and there's already coffee inside. I don't know exactly, but I'm assuming that if you go to an event, there's a hashkacha. You can't assume anything. There's a hashkacha. You could, don't be embarrassed to ask the person.
And then another question. Can you put the piece of Haman in your teeth?
Say it again?
Can you put piece of Haman in
yes, your yes, teeth? Yes, you can. Yes, that's called achila. That is absolutely permitted. That is called a ma'is achila. Yes.
It will be. It's a cook.
You're allowed to put the lemon and squeeze it. Yes, that's permitted.
When I was a kid, my parents, they used to take the